Did you notice that the actor who plays Tuvok is the same actor who plays the principal on iCarly?
No. How would I know that? I haven't watched iCarly.
You are once again, for reasons unknown to anyone, listening to the VTAN podcast here at verbtheadjectivenoun.com. This is Josh, as always. Introducing you nice and slow like to today's episode. Last episode was the precursor, I guess it was, like I said, the preview of Avengers Age of Ultron. Today you're gonna get it. You're gonna get the actual hand on the balls. I guess, is that an expression? Honest to God, hand to balls. Review, spoilerific, spoilerful review of Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. See, what happened was, I went over to Kyle's house on the weekend, we sat down, we talked about the movie we were gonna see, we stopped recording, we went to the movie. As soon as the movie was done, we didn't even look at each other, we avoided making eye contact. I wanted to say to him, he would stop me and say, shut up, save it. We finally got back, we recorded what you're about to listen to now, and that's it. That was our review. This is our immediate after-action report, I guess you would call it. We didn't really have time to process it or think it through. This is our gut reaction to the movie. And as always, again, apologies. This is a brand new computer. My iTunes library is all in the cloud. I have yet to re-download it. I'm too lazy. So the song you're listening to right now is probably a Don't Stop or We'll Die song, which a lot of people don't like, but I love. So, comedy music, it's good stuff. Anyways, prepare yourself, strap in. This review goes crazy. That's it. Thanks. Okay, so we just got back from watching Avengers. What is it called, Kyle?
Age of
Voltron. Revengers 2, Age of Voltron.
Voltron.
There's the title right there. Revengers 2, Age of Voltron.
So for all you grandmas out there that want to be confused,
yeah, I love it.
That's the movie you want to pick up.
I can't wait, Kyle, till they make Revengers. Okay, so. Let's, I guess, just start by saying whether or not you thought it was great.
I'm not going to put it on the great scale.
Really?
Yeah. I liked it. It was good. I liked it more than the first one, but it's not great.
I thought it was great. I thought it was really good.
I enjoyed it. It was a typical summer blockbuster box office movie.
Wow, when you say typical, that kind of has like a weird connotation, Kyle. It's like a
because it's, you know, it's got its explosions, its action, its
Kyle. It's pronounced explosion.
Explosion porn.
Yeah, but I mean, right away it succeeded where in my mind every other Marvel property has failed immediately. Because right away, they do all that world building that I...
And you were complaining about.
Yeah, we should talk about how this is going to be a complete spoilerful review. Like,
we're going to tell you everything.
We don't care whether or not you've seen it. We don't care if you're waiting for the crowds to die down. Guess what? Hawkeye died, all right? So that happened.
Hawkeye dies.
I know, poor guy.
The Hulk
goes...
He goes berserk. He becomes Red Hulk in this one. So if you're... not aware of who Red Hulk is,
yeah.
Do yourself.
There's a moment in the movie where you think they're going to do like the whole like World War Hulk or Planet Hulk,
yeah,
storyline, because he does get transported to an alien planet,
yeah.
But that's he's only there for like a minute. It's really bizarre.
It's almost like they're segueing for like when they go to do another Hulk movie.
Yeah,
that's what's gonna happen.
He's gonna go to Planet Hulk and he's gonna have the brain of Bruce Banner. Because the thing is weird. We didn't know this. As long as he's not on Planet Earth, he's got his regular mind.
Yeah,
but whenever he comes back to Earth, he's crazy, which is...
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised that they threw that in there, because it's like, there's already enough stuff going on.
I know, it was so full of weird stuff. Like, the whole thing with, like, Tony Stark's alcoholism.
Like that didn't even play up really much in any of the other movies, except for the second one.
Yeah, yeah. And then it back.
And he thinks he's a DJ.
Yeah.
And like full on rager.
Yeah,
he has with himself.
It's so weird. Yeah. Like
he puts the moves on Black Widow,
and
the it's thing is really uncomfortable.
We all learn no means no, right? But I guess. Alcoholic Tony Stark just never got that memo.
Yeah, it was so strange. I felt
but the
so
abortion
bad.
Scene afterwards, when she has to go get that taken care of, is just wow, man. Good for you.
And I was even more surprised because they even mentioned that she can't be pregnant, and I was like, how is this even possible? And then you find out that it's because she was implanted with like this like
Asgardian like
yeah, it was, yeah. Loki did something in there, and just it like this is the Voltron movie, and you know they've got so many people in here. I felt like I was watching like I don't know a wrestling battle royale.
Yeah, I know,
Royal Rumble. Let's bring everyone in. Yeah, and then just all these like twists and turns. I was like, what are they trying to do? Like, are they just trying to open up doors for all these other movies?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. But like the whole thing with Ant-Man when he shrinks into and runs into the microchips of Voltron's brain
and takes him out. And they haven't even had that movie at the theater yet. I was like,
what a spoiler.
Who is this guy?
Well, that's because...
Why is Paul Rudd in this movie?
It's because the Ant-Man movie is going to be a prequel to this, just like Fast and the Furious, the timeline is supposed to be all over the
place. Is that how they're playing it?
Well, I guess so, because Ant-Man, like, he just shows up and is like, thank God you're here, Ant-Man.
Well, he didn't say it quite like that, but they may as well have.
It was more like, what took you so long?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but
yeah, they're going to throw in all these people.
Yeah.
Like even Chris Pratt, like when he shows up as Star Lord,
and like when the wormhole opens up,
and he like shakes hands with like with the Hulk, and he's just like, "Welcome to our world."
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh my god!"
But the weirdest thing was because Star Lord shows up because they're collecting those gems. But I didn't really think that he should have said, "We gotta catch them all," you know. Like
that's a Pokemon, right?
Exactly. I understand that he's collecting all of the gems. But he left Earth in the 80s. He's got no idea what Pokemon is, you know? That's the one plot hole, Kyle. The one plot hole.
That's the only one you could find in this whole
movie. Well, I did take extensive notes, but that was the one thing that really ground my gears.
Callie, how did you feel about the movie?
The spin has gone on way too long.
But did you hear any of what we already complained about?
Yeah.
Or described?
Well, I heard what you were talking about the... sterilization that you guys are calling an abortion.
That was excellent.
We were talking about all the stuff that happens in the movie that like people will be surprised to see it. All the crazy spoilers and twists, like Hulk going to his planet Hulk.
The crazy
bear.
Precious. Well, they did make reference to Precious.
Well, it was weird because at first you think it's the Blob, who's an X-Men character, and you're like, how did they get the rights to this? But then it turns out it's
Gabrielle Sibida.
Yeah, it turns out to just be Precious.
That's just mean. I have a feeling we're going to get some hate mail. All right,
this bit has gone on way too long.
None of that happens
in the movie.
But yeah, no, Callie, in all seriousness, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was all right. I mean...
On a scale of great to poor, where would you put that?
Can we make that a 1 to 10 scale?
Sure.
On a scale from 8 to 10.
8 to 10?
Yeah.
8 to 10.
Yes.
On a scale from 8 to 10, what do you give it?
8, 9, and 10.
So at a 3.
Well, on a scale from 8 to 10,
play along.
I don't know. I don't really know.
Did you like it more than the first one? Do you remember anything about the first one?
Yeah, I remember the first one, but...
Were you surprised when Hawkeye died?
It was okay. I mean, it was what I expected. I'm not the target audience.
Uh-huh. But you like that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, don't you? And that Peggy Carter, whatever the hell
it's
called.
No, we didn't watch that one.
I was like, I don't know what that is.
Agent Carter,
Peggy Olson.
But this is it. Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, we kind of watched it, but it was kind of almost like filler show to watch. Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't Phil Coulson in this
because
movie?
Because he's still technically dead.
Okay, I don't know anything about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I think that's why they were even, like, saying, like, and yes, this is real spoiler, but not really, because it's not really a spoiler. But Nick Fury shows up, and even Tony Stark's like, oh, hey, like, what are you doing here?
I thought you was the...
yeah, we didn't know you were still kicking around. And he's like, yep, hi. How's it going? I'm going to do some shit. See ya.
I know.
And it's like, okay, thanks. They had to just show him and put him into the movie.
He just has to show up for his one scene.
Yeah, I got one eye. I got my one eye on you.
So let's talk about the movie for reals now.
Okay, shall we try and start from the beginning?
Well, basically, before we started talking about this on our like preview, this is now the review, but on the preview, I talked about how the one thing missing from all the Marvel Cinematic Universe properties was zero acknowledgement of the fact that aliens exist and it's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I talked about specifically was how in Pacific Rim, like the fact that these monsters exist changes the culture.
Right.
You know, like people now have shelters underground, the kaiju shelters, and there's like kaiju sneakers. You know, and like people idolize the Jaeger pilots like heroes. You know, and like
yeah.
they have action figures that kids play, and like kaiju TV shows. And the kaiju remains are used for like weird holistic medicine, like rhinoceros horn is used today, or like tiger penis is used in like Eastern medicine. So that makes me feel like the entire world is more believable.
Before we went and saw this, though, did you kind of already have?
I didn't know anything that happened in this movie. I was completely. I didn't pay attention to it. And I didn't think I was going to go rush and see it until I started listening to people talk about it on Facebook yesterday. And then I wanted to watch it just to kind of see what did they think it's so good.
Right.
So I don't disagree with most of the people who talk about it, because right away the first thing you see is that they salvage one of those giant Moby Dick monster things that
yeah.
I was talking about.
Yeah.
And they were using it to like do some shit. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting. And not only that, but in this fucking Bratislava, whatever Belgravia, whatever Eastern European country they're in,
mm-hmm.
there's like graffiti, like political graffiti of the Avengers, and they're like, "Go home, we don't like
yeah.
it." And I was like, "Holy fuck, this is like what I was talking about."
Yeah.
This is like the tiny little details that create the world and make
yeah.
it a believable place, and it's missing from all the movies except for now. And I'm like, it's fucking Joss Whedon kicking ass. Tiny little details that I really like.
Yeah.
Like what Garland said. So yeah. So I thought right away I was in. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah,
but the one thing is, didn't they have the scepter at the end of Avengers? It's in Black Widow's hands. She uses it to close the portal.
Yeah,
why did this is the thing about all of the Tesseract goes wherever the story demands it. Like at the beginning of Captain America, it's inside of some fucking monastery, you know. And then, but it, at that point in time, it's supposed to be in Asgard because that's where, like, Thor has it, you know what I mean? But it suddenly appears on Earth somehow with no explanation. And then, at the end of Captain America, they take it back to Asgard. But now, he's got, like... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all over the place. It is...
If I rewatched the movies and kind of made note as to
yeah,
where it's last seen...
It never makes sense. Because then it crashes underground at the end of Captain America... And then at the end, so crashed underground, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. gets it, because at the beginning of Avengers, S.H.I.E.L.D. has it, and then that's why their base explodes.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, then Thor takes place in between Captain America and Avengers, and it's all there. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, so basically, if you go through the timeline, it starts at Captain America. it's in some monastery for some reason. At the end of the movie, it's underwater. Then S.H.I.E.L.D. picks it up, and now S.H.I.E.L.D. has it. Then it's in Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's back on Earth in the S.H.I.E.L.D. base that gets destroyed. So it's just wherever the story demands it
yeah.
be, right? And that's exactly what happened with Loki's scepter. It just, that's the
it just
one.
Seemed to be. But the thing that surprised me too, though, is that it was his scepter
yeah.
right from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
But yet it had the stone
the
in
mind
it all
the Well,
time?
That's the reason why he was able to control people's minds. Like Kevin Smith, he hated that about Avengers. He loved Avengers 1, but he hated the fact that he could tap people on the chest and make them bad guys.
Mm.
He said that it was like a third grade like playground thing. Oh, you're a bad guy now.
Mm.
He called it the Loki Pokey Stick. But the reason he could do it is because it has the mind gem, which can control your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same gem. It's two different gems: the Tesseract and the stick. But they never explain where he gets it from or
mm.
what the.
That's
fuck.
What I mean. Like.
He
just so
it.
Happens that he's got
he just has
an Infinity
it.
Stone
yeah.
in that,
yeah.
and then they had another Infinity Stone.
Two of them in Asgard, yeah.
yeah.
It's really,
well, I don't know, it seemed
but it doesn't
bit.
Matter. Like, that's a MacGuffin. That's just, like, the thing that they're going after. Just that same way in Guardians of the Galaxy, he just finds another one inside of her temple for no reason. Like,
yeah.
he just, the movie starts with him finding it because they need him to have it, you know what
yeah.
I mean? So, other than that, I did take notes, but I'm too lazy to get my phone in.
Get the phone.
All right, fine.
So what was I gonna say? Yeah, So when we were watching it, you were even saying that the CG didn't look finished at the
beginning.
Callie said the same thing. When we were done at the movies and you went to the bathroom, Callie goes, was it just me, or was it the beginning scene didn't seem...
It didn't seem finished. Yeah. It really, like, the depth of field was off. Like, I think maybe it was designed to be in 3D. Because
it also felt like it was going, it was almost like it was going too fast.
Stuttering,
like like it was missing cuts.
It was really choppy. It didn't seem finished, which is odd. But that was one of my notes. Yeah, hold on. My very first note that I made
was that Star Wars was boo. Just kidding.
No, the first note I made was Ant-Man is the worst. Because the very last trailer before the movie started was the Ant-Man trailer.
One, yeah.
I'm like, Ant-Man is the worst.
What were all the trailers? San Andreas.
Star Wars.
Was there one? And this is why Callie's cute. Because the whole Lucasfilm thing came up, right? and everybody's like, whoa, getting all excited. And Callie's just like, what? And I'm like, it's Star Wars. She's like, oh, okay.
Wasn't there another one? There was only three. San Andreas, Star Wars, and Ant-Man?
One for Tomorrowland?
Yes. Yeah, Tomorrowland. Yeah, that's what it was. That's it. I think
that's
what it was. Yeah.
Was it?
So then, after Ant-Man is the worst, my next note was they had the Loki pokey stick at the end of Avengers. Why do Hydra have it? My next note is, yeah, Thor was like bossing Captain America around, which didn't jive with me. I'm like, why the fuck is Thor in charge all of a sudden? He's like, you go there. He goes there and he goes, all right. So that was weird.
Because they're all...
Captain America's
the leader.
Yeah,
but when he sees that maybe a command is correct, he will follow suit if need be.
That makes sense.
Like, they're a team, right? So they're trying to work as a team.
They have to work together, Kyle. Friendship is magic.
Friendship is magic.
Before we left, I was playing Kyle some music on my computer, and one of the songs I played him was this song right here. She got this! Don't stop or we'll die. I had it stuck in my mind. So when Tony has his crazy vision of the future, this is a weird thing that I've noticed more and more.
You know what? I know where you're going with this. Well, actually, I don't know. Continue.
So what happens is they show them all dead. Like, Hulk has got like five giant arrows in his back because the bad guys use arrows for some reason.
I don't think they were arrows because looking at it later on, they didn't have any like tail feather type things.
They were just like...
It looked like they were giant spears or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
Captain America's shield is broken in half and like everyone is dead. And there's a huge close-up on freaking Scarlett Johansson's wreck.
Yeah.
For no reason. But when I saw it, I just, in my head, I'm like, she's got titties in all the right places.
So on that note, I noticed that there was kind of a lot of, I wouldn't say cleavage shots, but it seemed like everybody's boobs were kind of...
hanging out?
Well, no, but just not, almost like emphasized. Like, everybody was wearing like a push-up bra or something. Like, they're all wearing relatively, no, I wouldn't say revealing, but made them all look relatively voluptuous. And I was like, I don't know if I was just, if I was no, if, like, just because I'm a perv and maybe I just
noticed this. It is possible.
But, like, near the end of the movie, there's a scene with the mother and the kid.
Yeah, that was weird.
And they kind of make them stand out a little bit. But part of the reason why I felt that they stood out was because it seemed like she was wearing like a nightie or something
she's
like that.
Out.
And she's completely fallen out of this thing. And I'm like, is that how they're trying to make you notice her?
That's how you're supposed to feel an emotional connection and feel danger.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, are they trying to get you to... It's like in
Focus.
Schindler's List where they've got the
red
girl
dress.
In the red dress.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so we're going to throw some titties in your face kind of... Not really, you know, but you're going to notice them, so you notice that woman and that kid, and then they show up again a little bit later on, and so now you recognize
them? It's definitely not something that I would have expected from Joss Whedon, because he's, like, really well known for his, like, feminist viewpoint and, like, equality when it comes to characters, women characters, like, empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the characters on Firefly is a prostitute, and he's like, she's the best, she's cool, like, there's no... stigma towards it because she's just awesome,
mm-hmm.
right? Or two of them actually. Two. Christina Hendricks is on their show. She's a companion too. Awesome. But that, yeah, that was kind of odd. Especially Scarlet Witch, she's just like, the more closer she gets to being a good guy, the more revealing.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, there's even like a part where she's like, she's kind of like bent over, and it's like, yeah, it's all super clean.
But only when she's doing her heel face turn. You know, yeah. Like when she's a bad guy, she's almost like non sexualized at all.
Yeah.
And then the closer, the more and more she becomes a part of the team, the more sexualized she becomes, which is really striking. Strange. And
for the yeah. record, as a female, I didn't notice much over the top, if any, compared to.
Well, maybe we're. It's, maybe it's.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe
I think
I'm
you two
a pervert.
Are just perverts.
It is. It is possible. I'm not going to dispute that. But yeah. So so for whatever reason, the stick is in some European castle, and they go and save it. And
yeah.
The people behind us, Kyle, were just like, "Don't take off your suit." I'm like, "Shut up!"
Yeah. The people sitting behind us were like, why would you take off your... Like, in theory, though, why would he just take off his suit?
Because
and
they gotta
go
have,
and explore.
For the same reason that Chris Evans takes his mask off all the time, because you have to have the hero
yeah.
shot. You've gotta have...
Like, I get that, because, yeah, for the first 10 minutes, it's all just, like, that close-up in the mask
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of shot of him. So they gotta have a reason to have
yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. walking around. Mm-hmm. But... It is kind of stupid that he leaves the suit behind. Like, if the suit's going to be a sentry gun,
yeah.
and it's going to stay to protect him, it should have
followed
him behind
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Like, that part of it kind of was a little weird to me. Other than the fact that that was the reason to get him out of the suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then he has his whole dream or whatever. I really love the way that Hulk, he de-hulks in the movie. I thought that was mm-hmm. cool.
He just calms himself.
Yeah, well, she calms him down. Mm. She
holds his hand.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I really liked how they decided to pair those two characters up, because...
Well, what, wasn't Hawkeye and her an item?
Item?
What?
Yeah.
See,
that's what they were implying last
No,
time.
I don't think so at all, because if you go back and watch it, because she goes to get him in the first place in India. She goes to meet him, and then she has more interactions with him than anyone else. But the thing is, the whole thing with her and Hawkeye is that he saved her life, and she wants to save his life, because now that he's a bad guy, she doesn't want to kill him, right? So the whole point, and he even says it to Loki, he goes, "I've got red in my ledger, and I want to wipe it out." But the fact that we automatically, as a society, think, here's a man and a woman, and they have a significant, you know, character arc together, that immediately implies that they must have a romantic connection. That's backwards thinking. Like, we gotta get out of that. You know what I mean? Like, you remember, like, 30 Rock? People were freaking out because Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey, they didn't get together in the end. Like, are you fucking stupid? Mm-hmm. You're missing the entire point of it.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's a man and a woman leading, they don't need to get together to make the story work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or, like, there's more examples of this, but I can't think of them off the top of my head.
But like,
or, yeah. Okay,
but
okay.
I was gonna say, but like in the comic books, and wasn't it even in the first movie that they tried to make it seem as though?
Well, no.
They're together.
I think go back and watch it, Kyle, because I think that because
like she isn't she wearing like an arrow
no,
necklace?
No, no, no.
I'm
no,
pretty
no.
sure she is.
No.
Or in Captain America, maybe it is.
In Captain America, they make it look like she and the. And Captain America
no,
are gonna get
no, but if you watch Captain America 2 again,
yeah.
she wears a necklace that has an arrow.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but I think it's an A, like for Avengers. That's
no,
so
it's
lame.
An arrow. I'm telling you, it's an arrow.
Maybe she's just a big fan of the hit CW
it's
show.
Because
like,
it's sideways. It's not like down. It's like it's like the arrow is facing like left to right.
Okay,
and it hangs
arrowhead. You mean right?
No, an actual arrow. Like so, like there's the head of the arrow.
Oh no way! Like
and,
an
and,
actual
like, and the chain goes
arrow?
There, and then it goes. And it, yeah, it looks
more
like
more gestures,
arrow.
Kyle. More gestures.
More gestures.
But the thing is, like the whole thing with her and Captain America is another thing.
Yeah,
because it's a man and woman leading the movie, you assume oh they're going to get together in the end. But the fact that they don't, and the fact that they understand that they shouldn't is
yeah.
is cool. I think.
But even for them, like as characters, I for some reason thought that in the comics they hook up as well.
Of course,
that's just it. I don't know. But so it was just for me out of all the things that I thought happened in the comics
uh-huh.
for her and Banner to kind of get together. I was just like, well, I didn't see that one coming. You know, what
I
mean?
I don't
like,
know.
I was kind of surprised to see that one because. doesn't he? Isn't his love interest? What's her face?
Betsy Ross.
Yeah.
Or Betty Ross, not Betsy Ross. Betsy Ross made the fucking
flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
so that's why I was like, that seems kind of unusual.
But I think you're not going to make a Hulk movie, though, because Hulk can't have his own movie. So, I think it's the economy of characters. Mm-hmm. It's already hard enough. Like, Natalie Portman wasn't in this movie.
Right. They do reference her and Gwyneth Paltrow.
But neither were them in this movie, because that's just more characters you have to juggle. There's already so many characters.
It's kind of like Ocean's 12 or 13, where it's like, yeah, we don't need to have Catherine Zeta-Jones and Julia Roberts in here. Like,
So they didn't have them in, not because they didn't want to participate, but because...
Well, it could have been
a combination of
things. By having them in, you just need to have them do something.
Like, they could have put them in the party scene. Putting them in the party scene. Mm-hmm. But then it would have been just like, well, here's my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's unnecessary.
Exactly, right?
It's an unnecessary
thing.
And
so what they do is they talk about how important they are, and they got shit going on that doesn't...
It doesn't have anything to do with the
story.
Yeah,
they have their own lives that they have important stuff to do that doesn't involve supporting the hero.
Yeah, she's running a company.
Yeah, she's running a fucking company. She's going to get a Nobel fucking prize. She doesn't have time to be my cheerleader, you know, which I think is cool. But then, and also there's a budgetary reason for not having them in there. But the fact is, to have another character just to be Bruce Banner's love interest, it just makes more sense. I'll give you another example. People are freaking out over Game of Thrones, how they're changing the storyline now because they're...
The source material is running out.
Exactly.
So they gotta kind of just do the
storyline. So the whole storyline with Sansa Stark, in the books, what ends up happening is Sansa's got a friend, Jean Poole, who...
Jean Poole? Jean Poole is the name?
Jane.
Oh. I was like, really?
It's J-E-Y-N-E. It could be Janie.
Okay.
And P-O-O-L-E. And so what they end up doing is she goes to King's Landing with him because she's going to be like her handmaiden or whatever when she becomes queen. Like, that's the plan. That's her, like, role in life.
Mm-hmm.
But then after Ned Stark's all his men, like, he's got 50 guards. After they kill all the northerners in the capital and Arya goes missing or whatever, they take her and they make her pretend that she is Arya Stark.
Okay.
Because no one knows where Arya is because she's out for the Faceless Men, right? Becoming a ninja assassin. And so, because she knows the whole history of the Stark family, because she lived in Winterfell her whole life, they try to pass her off as Arya Stark and make her marry Ramsay Snow so that he'll become Lord of Winterfell. But the thing is, in terms of Game of Thrones, the TV show, it would make no sense to throw in this new character for that storyline. Why not just use characters that we already know about? You know,
right.
And just you.
It's kind of like even in like The Walking Dead, where it's like, okay, we've got the source material, we could do this with this character, but... Let's change it up a little bit. So we'll have somebody else be
somebody else plays that guy. But also, and then that way someone who we already are familiar with. Like, there's a character in Walking Dead the comic books. His name is Jesus. He looks just like Jesus. That's why they call him Jesus.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that Aaron in the show is going to be Jesus for the show. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
Because they're both gay and awesome. But there is an Aaron and an Eric on the show and the comic book, but then I think that the role of Jesus in the comic book is going to be taken over. But just what I'm trying to say is that why bring a new character that we now have to introduce and have to create a whole storyline for when we can just use an existing character to shoulder that story?
I'm fine with it. All I'm saying is that I was kind of surprised that they would go down that road when he's got an interest already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now, is he going to have, like, a love triangle? Well, do I pick her or do I pick...
I don't think so.
I just said it was a kind of an odd...
I don't know. It worked for me. I really dug it. I thought it was cool. Because it also gives both of them something to do in the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like...
Mm-hmm. But they could have kind of done the same thing with Hawkeye and her, too, though.
But that's the thing. But I think by giving Hawkeye an arc outside of the team... is the only way to make him more interesting. Because, we talked about it. He even acknowledges it himself.
Yeah, they poke fun of it in the movie itself. He's just like, there's this shit going on, and that shit going on. No, I've got the fucking bow and arrow.
Yeah.
None of this makes sense.
And so, because all of them have, like a conflict with one another, or like they all have like their relationship beats.
Mm-hmm.
But to have him as like the odd man out, and have him like be the everyman... it's kind of like he's your entry point into the team, and to see his family and all that, I think works It works better than having him just have a romance with Black Widow, I think. I don't know. Joss Whedon knows what he's doing, man. He knows how to balance. Like, Firefly was an ensemble cast of, like, 10 characters, man, and he juggled them all well. And this movie is the same. He gets them all something to do, and they're all... It really feels like a team, because they all play a part, you know? And that's why I'm saying, if they go into the Infinity War and they're fighting Thanos, what the hell are Hawkeye and Black Widow going to do,
yeah,
you know? That's why I kind of feel like they're phasing Hawkeye out. They're like, let him go retire and live on his farm.
Yeah.
Because already he's already flying the plane. Because what else could... Like, that's what he would be doing in Guardians of the Galaxy. He would be flying a plane.
Yeah.
You know, while Iron Man and Thor are flying through space.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So what was my next note? Oh, my next note was Beats by Dre.
Yeah, the fucking product placement in this movie. I know that they gotta throw stuff in there, but man, they held on those headphones for a solid, what, 10...
It's like the end of Danger 5, you know, when the Muchacho brand breath mints. Like, they're explicitly going, if you can't calm the savage beast within you, get Beats by Dre. You know, music calms the savage beast.
Yeah.
And then the worst is there's, like, a love scene with Black Widow and fucking Bruce Banner. And they hold on a fucking can of Gillette, like, shaving cream.
Yeah, like, they bring the shot... It's outside of the room, into a completely other room, so that on the far left side,
in the foreground, is a can of Gillette shaving cream and a fucking Mach 5 razor.
Well, you know Gillette right now has the Avenger razors.
Yeah,
right? Did you see those?
Yeah,
they're all different
razor.
Razors. There's one that's
razor.
The Captain America one, the Hulk
razor. Depending on what kind of beard you want. And that's why this Hulk had facial hair this time. He had stubble this time, did you see?
Yeah.
That's total product integration there, Kuh. But yeah, in my head, I was watching the make out, and I'm thinking, the best a man can get.
product placement in this, because like, I kind of missed it, because I think I kind of just took my eyes off the screen for a second.
Yeah.
And you pointed out that Quicksilver put on a pair of Adidas.
Adidas
shoes.
They're gearing up for the final battle, and he grabs a pair of Adidas out of Tony Stark's closet, and he's like, yeah!
I feel like the product placement wasn't nearly as in your face as it has been. They are much more subtle and light-handed.
Thor drives an Audi! He can fly!
but it wasn't so in your face that I actually noticed it. Like, I was watching the movie. I didn't see any of what you guys are talking
about. Yeah, because we're crazy, though.
We watched the movie good. No offense, hon, but I have a feeling that after tomorrow, you probably won't even remember most of what happened in the movie.
Well, yeah, but I'm your average viewer versus you two that are your super fans?
I guess. We're just...
We just watched the movie good.
I watched the movie good. That's a good one, cuz.
Please watch. I watched the movie good.
So we're talking about romance and the team. In the first Avenger movie, when they come onto the helicarrier for the first time, and Captain America walks onto the bridge, and Iron Man is there, and like he's like, how does Fury see with one eye? There's a scene, it's very short, it's like not even 2 seconds long, where Maria Hill I fucks the shit out of Captain America. She just, like, looks him up and down, and it's, like, so obvious, and it makes me giggle every time. And so when he comes out of the Quinjet, and she's, like, in her fucking little secretary dress, I'm like, what's happening with these two? Like, I want to see something happen with these two, because even in Winter Soldier, she kind of, like, checks them out all the time. She's always, like, staring at him.
She's the Money Penny.
Okay.
She's Money Penny of
this
world.
She's way more badass than Money Penny.
Moneypenny has...
No, I'm pretty sure Captain America is better than James Bond as well.
You bite your goddamn tongue. So I go, Maria Hill wants to bang him so bad, is my next note. My note after that... So in the movie, when Ultron comes to life and Voltron destroys their party...
Ultron.
Did you notice that Captain America moves the hammer? Like, he's able to
He shifts it just a little bit. Yeah. Because they made the little sound. They added the little Foley sound of it, like...
And you see Thor gets kind of worried.
Yeah.
He's like, what the shit?
Yeah, he's like, fuck, what the fuck?
Yeah, because he's pure-hearted. He's a good guy. He's a good guy Cap.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the point of the story is that they use a Loki Pokey stick to create Voltron. And then Voltron kills Jarvis, and
I thought what had happened is that he
had like absorbed him. Like you said, like the Dawson's Creek Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, it just absorbs all around him,
and then it goes out into the internet.
Like Agent Smith. Like
yeah. You can just kind of like absorb,
assimilate.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
But yeah. So and that was a pretty cool thing. Like I remember watching Dark Knight Rises, the third the Nolan trilogy, when Alfred gives his speech about every year when you were gone, I took a vacation. He's like, and every fine evening I to sit at a cafe on the banks of the Arno and order a Fernie Branca. And he talks about how he wishes he would see him, and we wouldn't talk to each other. Through the course of the movie, I forgot that that had happened. You know, like, the ending didn't telegraph at all until I was like, oh my god, no way! And you see, he's alive, right? Because they do such a good job of filling the movie with other cool, interesting stuff that you kind of forget about it. So once Jarvis died or whatever, I like forgot about it. Like it didn't tell you until
kind of yeah.
Until
well, like I was kind of realizing it a lot, especially when Tony Stark was going around and he was like he's trying to figure out stuff and there's no one talking to him anymore.
Well, when he says that someone is stopping Voltron from getting the nuclear launch codes, I'm like, oh, of course! I knew right away that that's what it was. Well, and that's when I was like, and then when he starts making the body, I was like, that's when I turned to you. I go, oh, have you figured out what's gonna happen? I knew at that point that Jarvis was gonna become the Vision, which was cool. But we're jumping way ahead. So after Voltron comes alive and he fights the Avengers or whatever, he escapes. He goes to Wakadia, whatever the hell.
Wakahachi. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. That's why I was like, I'm assuming it's kind of segueing into the Black Panther series,
but,
maybe.
But yeah, you turn to me and you go, is Black Panther in this movie?
No, because I wasn't sure if maybe he had...
Like a cameo?
Because Vision's... I'm kind of jumping ahead, but Vision's in this movie.
Yeah.
So when they went there... That's where Black Panther is from, right? And so I thought, well, maybe you would just get that little cameo. I'm not saying that you would get to see him or he would fight with them, but you would see a cameo of him. And it didn't happen. That's why I asked you. I was like, does he have an appearance in this? And you're like,
I don't know. I hope not. Fucking, there's already too many.
But my thing with though too, right, is that I thought the vibranium or whatever was supposed to be like indestructible.
Yeah.
And... So
how did they kill him?
Well, there's that, but
it's because they didn't.
I'm jumping ahead, and that thing that was raising up the city, right? Was that not made out of vibranium?
No, what happened was what they did was
I thought they said that's what the extra vibranium was used.
Yeah. So at first I thought they were going to use the vibranium to make a body for Ultron. If they had just done that.
Yeah.
Then you win, Ultron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But instead, they use it just the same way that the Hallelujah Mountains in Avatar work. The vibranium has a weird magnetic field, and that's what allows the city to flow. So it's got those thrusters that provide lift, but there's no way that... the helicarrier can't exist. It would collapse under its own weight. But this city, which is like a million times heavier than the helicarrier, they put vibranium throughout the earth, like in veins. So that
that makes sense.
Like the unobtainium in Avatar, how it floats.
Yeah, because like the reason why I was asking that is because like when they had stated, oh, we found where the extra vibranium had gone, and I thought it was that whole pillar.
No,
right?
Yeah.
Like meaning like the metal itself.
Yeah,
and so when Iron Man was cutting through it, I was like.
But the shit.
That doesn't fucking make sense because he shot Captain America's shield with those lasers and
Thor
it just reflects off of it.
Happens,
and I was like,
they do it
something
as
doesn't make any sense here. And I was like, whatever, fuck it, I'm just gonna let it go. You know what I mean? Like,
no, they put it through to the earth like to make it
I didn't quite catch that then.
Because it has a unique magnetic field and then it makes the city float, which I thought was cool. But to get back on track, when they have their fight inside of the second act fight, like the Rocky Clubber Lang fight, where they have to lose in order for them to
get better.
Yeah.
Gotta have their montage.
So the Scarlet Witch goes into all of their brains when I was watching that scene and you see Black Widow, my note is Black Widow is Tron. Because for some reason...
Her suit is a Tron suit.
Why did they give her a Tron suit, guys?
As soon as I saw that, my thought was, well, she stands out like a fucking...
Yeah, she's supposed to be a spy.
Yeah.
Stealth,
why?
Man. Why did, like, it's a
black suit with bright light, blue lights flashing through it.
Yeah, it made no sense.
It just to make her look cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I did like that they answered how... Because I was gonna use that as a thing to say, and this is... that Captain America's shield comes back to his arm because he's got a thing on his arm that brings it back.
That was the first thing I noticed at the beginning, too, because I was like, oh, they never answered that before.
Yeah, and we talked about that. I complained about that before.
Yeah, and it's not a fucking boomerang.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. And it always made me wonder, though, too, is that, like, I know he's a super soldier. He's really fast and strong and whatever.
He has no geometry.
That's what I was going to say. Like, how does he know that if he bounces it off 9 trees, it'll hit his target that's moving forward? So he's also got the timing down that when he gets to that certain point, it's going to hit him in the face, bounce off of his face, and then still make it back.
But the thing is,
how did he?
The thing is, in the second Captain America movie, you can hear it. You can hear that Foley vroom, when it sticks to his back or to his arm. But they never go and explain it. And the only reason I think that they did explain it in this one is because they need to establish the Vibranium has this unique magnetic field.
Yeah.
Because that's how the city floats, right?
Now, my other question is, too, though. At the beginning, he throws out that shield, right?
Uh-huh.
And it bounces off of trees.
Yeah.
Why isn't it coming in the trees?
Why doesn't it just chop the tree in half?
Yeah, because it busts through everything. It's going through giant metal robots, but trees are bouncy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that didn't make any sense at all, but I was like, whatever, let that go.
Who gives a shit? But you're right, there's a couple of weird instances where he's just... And, like, how does Black Widow pick up the shield because
it has no handles.
Yeah.
I noticed that too.
And she doesn't have magnetic gauntlets, like, but she just scoops it up and slams it on the front of the bike.
Right.
So there's all kinds of weird, crazy stuff, but you just have to go with it, is the thing.
Yeah.
And see, that's what we talked about earlier. Like, certain things, like, before the movie begins, you have to accept the fact that impossible shit can happen in this world.
Yeah.
Right, but again, just to reiterate, that's the difference between the Fast movies, is that you don't have to make that leap in those movies. That's why when impossible shit happens in those movies, it's more impressive, I think. You know, like, in Furious 6, he crashes the car intentionally so that the force will send him flying, so that he can catch the girl in midair and land in the windshield of another car so she doesn't die. And, like, it's not a world where impossible things can happen, so it's more... amazing because of that, you know what I mean? But in this world, anything can happen. So, yeah, sure, she can jump a motorcycle into, like, a moving van, and then the moving van can take off because robots are flying it.
Yeah.
And then a coffin can fall out of it into another plane.
And those robots just so happen to have thrusters
in their face!
And I leaned over to Callie, and I was like, wish I had a thruster in my face or something like that. I was like...
That sounds so good now.
So then, I didn't make notes for a whole long while because there's all those emotional scenes. So then, my next note was, I figured it out, when he's in Korea and they're trying to make a new body for Ultron using the Vibranium, I'm like, oh, that's going to be Vision.
I did like that they used Paul Bettany, though, as the actual
Vision.
Because Paul Bettany is the voice of Jarvis.
But then that makes my next note is, Vision's face is stupid.
You know what, at first I thought it was... Michael Fassbender.
Oh, yeah, it does kind of look like
him. He kind of looked like
him. He does.
The guy who plays Magneto.
You know what my first thought was? Oh, this poor man doesn't have a dick.
I only had a dick.
But when they reveal Vision, he's like red and yellow or whatever, right? And then he goes over to the window and then... For whatever reason, he changes his appearance.
That's right out of Justice League New Frontier by Darwin Cook. When Martian Manhunter, his appearance is that of, like, a Martian.
Mm-hmm.
But then he sees Superman, and he figures this is what people think their heroes should look like. That's out of New Frontier.
How is he able to produce the...
Nanobots. Yeah, he's magic.
The cape?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's magic.
He's magic, huh?
You didn't catch that? I caught that.
It's got to be some kind of nanotechnology with his cells. Because they say it's the most versatile element in the world. And you need a frisbee.
Because well, that was just it. Because I was like, so he changes his appearance and puts on like this like greeny suit.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so now he's trying to make himself look more...
Well, he gives himself clothes.
And then he sees Thor's cape and he gives himself the cape. But that whole part was just like, so can he morph? Can he become whoever he kind of wants?
Maybe he will. Maybe he'll be the Martian Manhunter of the Avengers.
And then the fact that he had the laser that came out of
the mind gem, that was weird.
I was like, was that always the power he had?
I thought it looked familiar.
Did you notice how his hands would phase through the robots like fucking Shadow Cat?
No, I didn't catch that.
Maybe I'm imagining it, but like
I thought he just was able to like just
punch.
Go right through them because he was stronger.
Yeah, but it looked like he was like warping through them. Mm. I think he has like I don't know, who knows, something with his molecules.
Maybe they'll get it revealed later.
Yeah. This is getting very nerdy now.
All right, so fine.
Did we just Spanish flee ourselves?
So yeah, Vision's face is stupid. So Vision joins the team and like the...
And they never announce his name.
They call him Vision.
Well, not really. They say, oh, you're so-and-so's Vision.
Yeah, because Thor has a vision in the water.
Yeah.
And he goes, this vision of mine.
Yeah.
And then Ultron specifically refers to him as my vision because he had his plan of being this super buddy.
But like, none of them were like, so what should we call you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but he specifically says, I'm not Jarvis and I'm not Ultron.
I know, but that's what I mean. Like, so if they're neither, why wouldn't somebody be like,
I think you're right, though, because if I hadn't leaned over to you and said, what's this guy's name? Because I knew he was an obvious character, then I wouldn't have caught that at the end when Thor used his name, I would have thought it was a weird sentence as opposed to actually a name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And... back me up on this one, or not, I don't know. Thor goes to the doctor.
Erik Selvig, yeah.
Yeah, and he brings him to the think tank? Like, what was the pond?
He called it the Vision Waters or some shit.
Yeah.
The Mirror Waters or something. He said that every world has this pool, mirror pool, and that they would reflect...
Thor knew of this?
Yeah, he said every world...
Because I missed that.
No, the doctor told Thor every world has one of these where there's something about a reflection
in the water.
Thor
if the water accepts you, it'll give you a vision, he says.
Okay, see, I think I was daydreaming for a little bit because I didn't get any of that. Because they just showed up and he jumps in the water and all of a sudden all this shit was happening.
What Thor said was... If this works, then I'll be able to see in my dream what I missed.
He says if the water accepts me, it will give me the vision. I'll be able to see my dream.
Because he's talking about the vision that Red Widow, was that her name?
The Scarlet Witch
gave her, gave him, because he was looking to figure out what he missed. Because he was like, I feel like I missed something.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
So the waters give you, like, it's like peyote. So he goes there, but the guy knows where it is because he likes Norse mythology or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just.
It was just a useful way of making you, the viewer, buy it as opposed to him just knowing where someplace on Earth is.
Yeah, some bizarre place.
But he talked about
like
how all the different worlds have one of these locations, which was, I think, pretty cool.
Okay.
So he has the vision, and then he comes back and he goes, I had a vision.
Yeah.
That's you now. You're the vision.
what else have we got?
But then, the twins are fucking awesome. I gotta tell you, man, was it Matthew Vaughn who made the second X-Men movie?
He did First Class.
So who did the second one? Because that Quicksilver in the second X-Men movie was just bullshit, man.
Yeah, compared to this guy?
He looks stupid. He just acted stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they have that one scene and then they completely forget about him was just dumb.
Apparently they're using him
in the sequel.
Next one,
they better.
Yeah.
But this Quicksilver was fucking badass, man. He was cool. And I didn't like how both of them had vaguely Russian accents. I thought that...
Yeah, there was parts where I felt like Emily Osment, Olsen.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did I call her?
Osment. Emily Osment. No, Elizabeth Olsen.
That's it.
Emily Osment is Hannah Montana's friend, Lola Lefnagel.
Anyways, yeah, Elizabeth Olsen, who is one of the Olsen twins' younger sister. There were parts where I felt like she forgot she was supposed to be doing her accent in that sentence, and then realized halfway through it and kicked it back in.
It's true.
There was a couple of times where I felt like, that sounds awfully English, and now it's Russian.
Yep.
Like, before I could even get that thought out of me. And I did find...
Kick-Ass guy did the same thing.
They both did. But I did find it funny, I sent it over to you. In Godzilla, they were husband and wife, and this, their brother and sister.
Yeah, but you kind of got a weird Lannister vibe from the two of them.
Well, I am 12 minutes older than
Whoops. But yeah, he was pretty cool in the movie. I liked it
when he phased all the way to Planet Hulk as well. Like, he ran so fast that he could warp to another planet.
Yeah, he used the cosmic treadmill.
This was some of the spoilers we talked about earlier.
Looking at you two like, what the
Planet Hulk?
You know that part where we had seizures and saw different parts of the movie?
Yeah. In every movie we see.
Yeah, the Planet Hulk stuff, they just should have cut it out completely. I thought both of those characters were really cool. I liked how the whole time when they show Hawkeye's family, immediately I'm like, he's gonna die.
Yeah, and you know what? I totally was feeling that too.
Yeah.
Like, so many parts.
And then the thing with...
And you kept laughing too, and because he would say particular things.
Yeah.
And it was such like, yeah.
It's
and
like...
And Callie's like, why is he laughing?
Yeah, because it was such a weird trope. Like, the whole like... I'm gonna sail around the ocean on my boat, you know, until I'm gonna retire in 2 days. And then so the whole thing with the Hawkeye and Quicksilver and how they don't get along or whatever, because like at the very beginning, when you first see Quicksilver, he's catching the arrows so that Hawkeye can't shoot a star. He gets really annoyed. And they have this running gag where the two of them don't like each other. Like, he calls him old man. And Quicksilver's like, I could kill him. Right? If he killed him, then he would have died.
Then Hawkeye dies.
But Hawkeye does not die.
He does die.
He does, but he's resurrected because Quicksilver runs so fast that he makes the Earth spin backwards.
Yeah, and what was weird is that Quicksilver throws the car in front of him.
I thought he pushed him behind the car.
Maybe.
No, because there was bullet holes in the car.
Yeah.
So, what got me was that... Okay, so he got shot because he put the car in the way of them.
Sure.
But then Hawkeye still was shot.
Well, as he was pushing the car in front of them, he just wasn't fast enough.
Yeah, he got shot.
But what I'm getting at, though, is that, like, maybe you're right. Maybe he pushes them to behind a car.
I think he picks them up and moves them like he was doing with the pit. Like, with all the civilians.
But what I'm getting at, though, is that, like, because the way I saw it was that he pushed the car into their way, and the bullet holes went through
him
and the car.
And Hawkeye.
And it snags Hawkeye, right? Yeah. But what I'm getting at is that if the bullets were still going in the same place...
Kyle, there was a second shooter.
No, but what I'm getting at too, like, even if it is your theory and it was Quicksilver pushes them out of the way, the bullets went through him.
Yeah.
So it would have went through Hawkeye as well.
No, not if he's like literally shoving them. You know,
he's not
picking them up and moving them. He doesn't have super strength, Kyle.
Well, then I guess my car theory is...
So that's why I don't think he moved the car.
Either way, I just was like... And part of me felt like, okay, so if he still got shot, then, you know, are they going to play it up that the Quicksilver ends up coming back to life and Hawkeye still ends up dying
That's what I thought was going to happen, because here's what happens. He makes it onto the lifeboat, and he's not wearing the arrow or the quiver anymore. You're figuring, like, this is it, I'm done. He sits down, he sees the kid, and he's like, fuck, damn it.
Yeah.
So he gets off the boat to go save the kid, and on his way back, he sees the Quinjet, it's taken over by Voltron. He's like, oh, God. He doesn't know what to do. There's nowhere for him to hide. So he basically turns around so that he can try and protect the kid. So that he can, like, be a fucking human shield. And that's when Quicksilver pushes him out of the way. And so you see Quicksilver's riddled with bullet holes, and then he falls to the ground, and then you see Hawkeye got tagged, too, and then he falls to the ground. They make it back onto the boat, And, like, you think Hawkeye's okay, but then he lies down next to him. I thought, oh, man.
Yeah, I thought he was going to, like, lie down and die.
Because they specifically said that in the beginning, when they're talking about what they can do, like, Maria Hill is explaining to Cap what they can do. He's like, she's got this and this, and they talk about how he's got increased metabolism.
Yeah.
And they, like, he's got, like, his cells move faster than ours do. So the idea that he could, like, potentially heal and regenerate himself, like, it would be ironic that here's a guy who's just a man, and here's a guy who's, like, a enhanced, they call them. Mm. He pushes him out of the way. He gets hit, like, 5 times, and he ends up being okay. Meanwhile, the guy who gets grazed by one bullet is the guy who dies because he's just normal. I thought, oh, shit, that's fucking nuts.
Mm.
But then the whole point of laying it on extra thick with Hawkeye's family is because, as an audience, we're trained to make... That's supposed to make us think, oh, he's gonna die.
Yeah.
So he just messes with those conventions, like... Quicksilver is too cool to die, so he's the one who dies, and Hawkeye doesn't. And it just—it's kind of a bit of a surprise because fuck you, viewer. That's why.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was cool. That's why I think this movie crosses over from good to great, Kyle. That's
sure.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know if I believe that.
there's some good stuff in that movie for sure, for sure. Like I did, and I made this point too, where it's like, they're having the big party, and they're showing you all of the people, right? Like,
yeah.
You've got your War Machine, you've got
Falcon,
Falcon, and whatever. And then all of a sudden, everything goes to shit. And where's Warhammer and Falcon?
Yeah,
like they were at the party. They were there. They were witnessing this shit.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden, they're not there. Like mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense. So I was kind of glad that when it gets to the end fight...
Yeah, Rhodey comes back.
Yeah, he shows up. But I was even like, where's Falcon? Falcon's yeah. not cool enough to show up. Like, he flies.
Yeah, and that's cool. But the one thing that wasn't cool is that War Machine is killing all those robots or whatever, and he goes, Rhodey, I need you to make sure that everyone gets on the helicarrier. Avengers, let's take them out. And I'm like... He just basically said that War Machine's not part of the Avengers. What a dick. You know, like, how dare you, Iron Man?
Well, that's because he's got to be part of the new Avengers.
Yeah, the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah. and the other thing that got me, too, that I was a little bit surprised about, Tony Stark has a satellite dish up in space just in case the Hulk goes rogue.
That's what Batman would do.
But how did he get it up there? And how did, like...
What do you mean, how do you...
Virgin Galactic, Kyle. Virgin Galactic.
That's the stupidest question. It's Tony Stark.
No, but the thing is, though, is that the world was okay with that going up there because it was just a Hulk.
It's a satellite, honey. There are tons of them out in the atmosphere right now that are owned by corporations and no country.
There's no regulatory body. Yeah, there's no
Fine.
All right. Fine. Why was it called Veronica? It's kind of
that was weird.
And I liked his new VI is
Friday.
Friday, his gal Friday. She's got the Irish brogue. She speaks with like a Irish accent. Did you pick that up? Or maybe it's Scottish. I don't know.
Didn't catch that one.
No, I think she's got like an Irish accent. It's cool, Friday. But then when Hulk goes to rescue Black Widow, they have like this cool intense love scene. But then she pushes him and he comes back transformed. That's right out of Zach Penn's Incredible Hulk. Like when he jumps out of the plane and he lands as Hulk. That's right out of the...
The movie?
Because remember there was Hulk and then there was the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, the one with Ed Norton.
Yeah, and that was the one. Like the thing is, in the one that Ed Norton was in, he wrote that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then they didn't give him writing credit. That's one of the reasons why he didn't come back
right. For
Avengers, because they had this huge dispute over... He was supposed to get a writing and producer credit, but didn't get either. But the thing is, the guy who did get the writing credit, Zach Penn, there's only two scenes that he wrote, and one of them was that fall from the sky and transform.
Okay.
And the other one was the... heart rate monitor to keep him from transforming when he's like
so to kind of keep track
when they're gonna get busy and get all sexy
and the sexy like, time kicks
yeah.
in.
So other than that, the entire script was written by Ed Norton, and he can get credit for it. But the guy who wrote those two scenes get credit for the whole script.
Isn't Edward Norton the guy from
American History X?
Yeah, from
Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Yeah. He was the Hulk, but then he decided not to come back. Anyways, so when Hulk transforms, he's jumping. What's her name? Black Widow's on his back, and they're jumping around. And I go to Kyle. It's just like Twilight.
Yeah, it totally was. As soon as
they're jumping into the forest.
Yeah, I was like. And she's riding on his back. Yeah, I was sitting there, I'm thinking, this is exactly Edward and Bella.
And Bella, it was awesome. That was really cool.
And then Callie and I tried to reenact it for a split second, and Callie almost killed
subway.
Me on the stairs.
I almost died in the subway station because she tried to jump on your back. Well, you are wearing a green shirt, Kyle. It makes sense.
Yeah, yes. I had to wear the Hulk, I'm sorry.
Okay. Then
I know
after
I'm so
that,
muscular. No.
The only notes I have are sad Hulk music. Because at the end
that was such a ball drop right there.
Yeah. At the end of the movie, Hulk is on one of the Quinjets and he's flying away, and Black Widow's trying to get him to come back, but his plane is in stealth mode and they can't track him, so he decides to just fly off into the distance by himself. So you get this hilarious shot of the Hulk, not
this
Bruce Banner, the actual Hulk sitting in the cockpit of this jet, looking out the window, and in my head I'm hearing the old this music. I don't know if I can find it. Probably not.
Well, I'm sure you can find it. I'm sure it's on
there. Yeah, just get a copy of one of the movies and strip the...
One of the shows.
Yeah, you get it off YouTube and then...
Yeah, probably get it off YouTube, but... Yeah.
But after you had stated that to me, I was just like, well, or even he's got that, his lullaby that he listens to help keep him calm or whatever, calm him back down. And I was like, even that little melody could have been the song that they could have used to keep him calm.
Yeah, use the Hulk.
Yeah, that would be an easy thing.
But no, but see, the thing is, I guess it's something about rights, but here's the thing, Kyle. Since Disney acquired Marvel, I'm pretty sure that's the reason why they decided to go with the Ultron storyline. Just because they knew they could use the Pinocchio song without it for free, you know. So the whole
I thought you were going to go with the reason why they went with Ultron is because they're like toys. They just want to make fucking toys.
Yeah, they can make toys, but the whole "they got no strings on me" thing is right out of Pinocchio, which makes me think that the next one, the next Civil War,
is that what that was from?
Yeah,
from Pinocchio. Okay,
you can use the actual clip. From the 1940s Pinocchio, but the next movie, the Civil War movie, is gonna have like the Sawenya.
Then they do the Black Panther movie, maybe. Because they're gonna have the father, you know, who's the king, and he's gonna have
Kyle,
he's gonna have his son.
Hope
and,
that's
and
true.
They're gonna do that.
I hope that's true.
Is it terrible that we think that that's what they're gonna do?
No, okay. They're gonna use all the they're gonna fucking Mulan is gonna join the Avengers.
Oh,
but they're gonna use all that free music, you know? They're gonna "A dream is a wish your heart makes." What else? That spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Vision will be all
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, no. What's the song? You got a friend in me.
He'll be Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody's Buzz Lightyear, I think it's Iron Man.
Yeah, I guess.
But and so then the movie ends with Iron Man and Hulk and Thor leaving, and
where were they going? I didn't understand.
No, Thor goes back to Asgard.
Yeah, Thor's going back home. Because he's done.
Where's Tony Stark going?
He quits.
Yeah, he's done. That was part of the reason why he wanted to do the artificial intelligence. Because he's like, we're trying to get it so that we're not necessary.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to have to be Iron Man for forever, whatever. And besides, I believe his contract is done as well.
Yeah.
So it's just his way of kind of exiting. Even though there's talks that he'll still be back in the other movies, but not necessarily.
They'll make
as
him
Iron
like
Man.
The Nick Fury.
He'll be I'm a consultant. Oh, hey, look, I'm in this one scene. Mm-hmm. You need this weapon. Here you go.
Right.
Kind of idea.
And so at the very end, because the big three are gone, it's Captain America and
what was
Black
that
Widow.
Shirt he was wearing? It looked like someone spray painted across his chest.
That Tony Stark shirt. Yeah, it's like an Ed Hardy shirt. But it's Black Widow, Captain America, War Machine, Scarlet Witch, and fucking Falcon. He's like, Avengers Assemble! And you're like, this is the fucking worst team ever, man.
Yeah, they were pretty lame. I thought they were it would have been way cooler if they would have put in some of the new characters. They're okay, so we're
like the people that weren't involved in the movie.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, so we've got this young crowd that are coming in.
Yeah, and, a bunch of new guys.
And it would have been people like maybe like Moon Knight
Luke
or
Cage,
like, yeah, like bringing Adam those guys, and then that would have made like watching those shows awesome.
Squirrel Girl.
God.
Who else?
That's an actual hero.
Wolverine. Spider-Man. Who else is in the Avengers? Well, that's a weird thing about the comics, is that there's the East Coast Avengers, there's the West Coast Avengers, and there's the fucking Great Lakes Avengers.
What?
Like, that's a thing that exists, Kyle.
The Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah, they have the Great Lakes Avengers.
Well, it's just like the Justice League has like 8 million different.
Well, there's the
Justice
League, there's the Justice League of America, and there's now there's Justice League Dark with Zatanna. She's got fishnets, Kyle. So yeah, I think that's it. So yeah, all in all, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. It wasn't great. You're right, Kyle. It wasn't great. It was very good.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. Man, I laughed out loud. The theater was quiet as a tomb.
You laughed at a bunch of
stuff. There's one line.
Super
it was
loud.
Yeah, with Nick Fury. He goes, "You're not the director of me." I laughed like a fucking maniac. Like, he's crazy. It made me laugh, and the fact that no one else was laughing made me laugh even more. But, there was a lot of, cheap jokes that people behind us just were going nuts over. I'm like, shut up. I hate you so much.
I did like the Vision picking up the hammer, though. Like, it was nothing, though. And then, they're trying to kind of figure out, well, how come he's
at the very
right?
end, they're like, because he's a machine. He's not real.
And they're like, no, that can't be it. And he's like, well, if it's in an elevator and the elevator goes up, it's technically picking it up.
Yeah, it's not worthy. I thought that was really funny. That's Joss Whedon just being a nerd. It was a good movie. It was cool. I liked it. It was very funny. I'm kind of sad that Joss Whedon is done now.
He may come back. Who knows?
Who knows? Well,
the director.
The director. The writer. He wrote and directed this movie. He's the reason why it's so funny and, weird.
Yeah. Fun. That's why it's fun.
But yeah, the best though was the Planet Hulk stuff, man. That's just
Planet Hulk.
Anyways, do you have anything more to say, Kyle? Anything more to add? I'm about to pass out.
The Thanos.
Ah, fuck that. That was cool.
I just think it almost seemed like it was just a throw in, just to have another throw in in the credits.
It's bullshit.
We got to put something in the credits. What are we gonna do? Oh, let's show him putting on the gauntlet.
Thanos is such a lame villain, man. Like, it just the fact that they're putting all the eggs in that basket.
It's like when we talked about earlier, where it's like if they introduced Darkseid.
Yeah,
and I was like, I know it's Darkseid, but Darkseid.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
Thanos is going to be one of those guys where it's like, unless they make him really badass, no one's going to give a shit. It's going to be more about who's going to be in this new movie, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it's going to come down to. So.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. They should make them all fight each other, like the Avengers should fight the Guardians of the Galaxy, just because they don't know that they're on the same team. Why would they, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that they're at Krott.
It's like that X-Men episode where the X-Factor team and the X-Men fight against each other, like in the cartoon
what
series.
What was the name of the Queen of Space, like Lilandra?
Something like that.
When they go to the Phoenix Saga, whatever.
Something like that.
Mojo?
Sure.
Some shit.
Can't remember. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're done.
All right, we're done. Yay!
Okay, bye.
Bye! Avengers, assemble!